This episode contains graphic details of murder and other crimes. Listener discretion is advised. Welcome back to Not Always Polite. I hope you guys had a safe and happy holiday season. And yeah, it's 2023 now, which is so crazy. I had a great time off. The weather here in Southern Ontario was kind of wild for like a couple weeks. We got dumped on by a ton of snow and now it's all gone. So that was fun. Oh, and I have strep throat now. I woke up this morning with strep. So I'm having a really good time. But I did just want to say thank you guys so much for listening. We were mentioned again on feedspot.com. Yeah, feedspot.com's article for 30 true crime podcasts you should check out for 2023. We were number 5 this year. Last year we were number 6. So we're moving on up. And I couldn't do it without you guys. So thank you guys so much for leaving me reviews and listening and following me on Instagram and all that kind of good stuff. So I'm really excited for what this year is going to bring, and I hope you guys are too. So, without further ado, I'm going to get on into today's episode. Today, I'm going to be talking about the disappearance of Holly Painter. So, let's get on into it, shall we? Okay, so, the disappearance of Holly Painter. On Monday, June 26, 1995, 18-year-old Holly Painter disappeared from Toronto, Ontario. Holly was last seen leaving her home at 359 Dawes Road at approximately 6 p.m. Oh, Jesus. We're off to a great start, boys and girls. She was last seen leaving her home at 359 Dawes Road at approximately 6 p.m. She was accompanied by two acquaintances, Steve Warner, 33, and Susan Livingston, 25. It's reported that the three left the house in a dark green or brown Ford Bronco with a license plate number 4JESTR. When they were questioned, the man, Stephen, informed the police that later that evening, Holly had exited the vehicle and took off running near the intersection of Kingston Road and Warden Avenue. Holly has never been seen again. At the time of her disappearance, Holly was 5'6" and weighed 115 pounds. Holly had dark brown, long hair that was slightly curly and brown eyes. There was no details given about the clothing that she was wearing the evening she disappeared, but the article that I'm referencing states that it was known that she wore 3 gold hoop earrings in each ear. She required Ventolin for her asthma and used glasses for distance vision. So there are some theories, obviously, to go along with this case. The first is that Holly ran off to start a new life. This doesn't often, like, obviously this is discussed a lot, but I feel like in most cases that's not the case. Holly and her adopted parents were close, according to her mother, Linda Painter, even though Holly had some anger issues that seemed to go beyond the norm for a normal teenager. For example, when Holly was 17, she got into an altercation with her father and was arrested for assault. Linda explained that Holly was known for her short fuse, which had always been a trademark. Holly landed a job shortly after the incident with her father and moved out on her own into a room at a boarding house. She began working at Save the Rouge Valley System, a local environmental group, after successfully completing a 6-month co-op position with the organization. Holly also attended school regularly and was in touch with her family on a daily basis. The week that Holly was last seen, she was excited about starting a rock climbing course. She had just gotten her braces off and was set to receive an award at school for being the top co-op student that year. By all accounts, Holly's life appears to have been happy and on track. Taking all of this into consideration, it's widely suggested that the chances are that Holly did not run off to start a new life or has remained out of touch with her loved ones for all these years by choice. The second theory is, of course, that she was met with foul play. If Holly is dead, the Toronto Police Service currently lists Holly's case as a homicide. Most of the evidence points in the direction of people she was with of the evening of her disappearance, Stephen Warner and Miss Livingston. As mentioned, the week Holly vanished, she was going to begin a rock climbing course. On June 26th, the day she disappeared, Holly called her mother, Linda, asking for a ride to work to pick up her bank card that she had forgotten there so she could purchase some climbing shoes that evening. However, Holly called back and told her mother that she found another ride. Stephen has told the police that he drove Holly to her office to retrieve her bank card. They then met up with Miss Livingston and returned to Holly's home. A short time later, Holly and Livingston got into an argument in the basement, and Holly reportedly assaulted Livingston. Warner says that he then told Holly that they were taking her to her parents' house. It is supposedly on this trip that Holly leapt from the vehicle and disappeared. A couple of nights later, a note appeared on the painter's front door that read, quote, "I've had enough. Don't try to find me." Because of this, Holly was not reported missing until approximately 2 weeks after she disappeared. However, in retrospect, Holly's family thinks the note was not written by their daughter. Holly's bank card was used in Cheektowaga, New York, never heard of it, on July 1st, shortly after she vanished, and Stephen admitted to the authorities that he was the one that used Holly's bank card. The media reports that although, quote, Warner has left Canada voluntarily because of an immigration matter, the Toronto police consider him a, quote, person of interest in the investigation. Warner and Livingston's story leaves many unanswered questions. Why would Warner insist on driving Holly, a person who was independent and living on her own, to her parents' house because she got in a fight? How did he get Holly's debit card PIN and the number to use the card? Did he kill Holly so that he would have access to her bank accounts? Was Livingston also involved in Holly's death? And was the fight related to that? It suggested that Holly could have gone running from the vehicle that night, like Warner and Livingston claim, and then was killed by someone while on the run, someone yet the police haven't gotten to, but I think the odds of that are unlikely. Holly's loved ones are still trying to find out what happened to her on that fateful night. Linda, Holly's mother, desperately wants to know what happened to her daughter. Linda explains, there's just something about that night that's been lied about, I think. If you happen to know anything about this case, please reach out to the authorities and help shine a light on the truth. If you do have any information regarding this case, please contact the Homicide Department at 416-808-7400 or by email at homicide@torontopolice.on.ca. You can always call Crime Stoppers at 416-222-8477 or on their website at www.222tips.com. And that is the case of Holly Painter. Since this episode is so short, I do have another case that I'm going to post directly after this one. So if you're looking for a little bit more true crime for the week, definitely check out the next episode that I'm going to be posting. It's about a murder in Toronto of another young woman around the same age as Holly. So definitely check that out if you're interested. If not, I'll catch you guys next week. Don't forget to follow me on Instagram at notalwayspolite and leave me a review wherever you're listening. It really helps me out a lot. Thank you guys so much for listening, and I'll catch you guys next time.